So thank you for supporting that too. And it's always a good week. It's always a week where God has a chance to deal with our young people, and that's important. We're going to be turning this morning to the 103rd Psalm. 103rd Psalm. While you're turning, I do need to go over a few things with you folks. I do not think Paul mentioned we do have a deacon trustee meeting. This was planned 2 weeks ago, and we had most of our men who could not meet that night, so it is rescheduled for this evening after the Bible study hour. And then on July 24th, in 2 weeks, we're going to have our church-wide business meeting. We're supposed to have every quarter a church-wide business meeting. The last couple years, with all that's gone on, we've not been able to do that always, but we will have the quarterly business meeting this coming July 24th, so that's in 2 weeks. And we were asked to consider raises for the custodial and secretary position. We normally do this first month of the year. We did not do that, so it was brought to our attention. So we're going to present to you an opportunity to vote on that, with that particular issue. And then I'm going to try to give you an update on the youth pastorate search and give you an update on the Family Life Center and what's going on with that. So that's in 2 weeks following the Bible study hour. Really want to encourage you to be here. You know, if you're a member of this church and you're over 17 years of age, please, please take the responsibility that you have and be here that night for that meeting. And then the last thing, and this is the thing I really want you to begin to focus on with me, and that is the upcoming meeting in September with Brother Rich Tozier. I think you understand that any time we have what we might typically call a revival meeting, my expectation is every member is excited about it and plans to be here every single night, every single service. We had planned this for the end of October, beginning of November, and then he contacted me and said, "Pastor, I have a conflict. I cannot come." He said, "Could we reschedule?" And the only week he had was that first week in September. It's not the best week because that's the last holiday weekend of the summer, and I know a lot of folks like to go out of town. I'm asking you as your pastor that this year you would take that time and just dedicate it to the Lord and be here in that meeting. It starts Sunday morning, September 4th, goes through Thursday, September 8th. Just want to encourage you to be part of that meeting. We are going to, beginning on Monday, July 25, begin 40 days of fasting. I'm not asking anybody to fast for 40 days, but we're going to have a list put out next week or possibly the week after and give you an opportunity to sign up for at least one day to fast for that meeting. Maybe you could fast once a week or a few times during that time. I know many folks have health issues. You may be a diabetic and cannot afford to have a food fast. But you know, the scripture speaks of other means of fasting. And I want to encourage you to be part of that. Let's get serious about this. Let's ask God to do something special through that meeting for our lives. Brother Tozier, has been a while since he has been with us. We've had a lot of good men over the years come and preach meetings for us. I don't think you're going to top Rich Tozier. I think God's spirit is all over this man. He's a very serious-minded man. He has a very separated walk to the Lord, and we need to hear from God through this man. So I want to encourage you with that. And then on Saturday, August 27th, and Saturday, September 3rd, we're going to try to have some cottage prayer meetings. We'll have two each week, one north of the church, one south of the church, or east-west, whatever it is. And if you might be interested in that, then you can let us know. We've done this in years past where we've had some cottage prayer meetings where you may want to open your house up, just having a small group of people come in and do nothing but really pray. Pray for God to work in that meeting. So I just want to alert you to those things. I want us to be as spiritually prepared and physically prepared as we possibly can. So the most important thing is just setting that time aside. Just setting that time aside. I realize school will be in full swing, a lot of activities going on, but I would ask that you would even consider suspending some of those activities so you can be here under the preaching of God's word. That is our priority. That is our priority. And I trust that you will oblige in that and do everything you can to be here in that meeting. 103rd Psalm, we're going to be looking at this in just a moment. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get started. Father, I thank you for your goodness. Lord, I do thank you for what was done in the lives of the young folks that attended camp this past week. Lord, we ask that you would just continue to prick their hearts, that it would not be something that would quickly fade away. Those who have been challenged to spend more time in your word, those who have been challenged to separate themselves, Lord, they would do so. Lord, we ask that you would just give each of us a heart to come from out from among them and be separate, to live a sanctified life, to be people dedicated to your word and to prayer, and to seek your face. And God, we'll thank you. Lord, use me this morning. Use those who are working in children's church. Be pleased, Lord, to minister to our hearts and help us to be receptive to you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I think it'd be safe to say that every believer at times, you wonder if God has forgotten you. I mean, if we're honest, there are times where that thought goes through your mind. Maybe you dwell on that thought. That's not necessarily unusual. I think if I were to take a raise of hand, and I will not, but I wouldn't be surprised if everyone in this auditorium, those of you who say, I know Christ is my Savior, I know He loves me, would say, you know, there have been some times where it feels like God has forgotten me. Even King David, this great man of God, the man through whom the lineage of Christ was brought forth, the man that was called the sweet psalmist of Israel, the man that God himself said was a man after his own heart, that man said this in Psalm 13, verse 1. Now listen to this. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? Now that seems so strange to hear those words from that man. You know, that's not the man you would expect that from. But that wasn't the only time he said it. In Psalm 42, the ninth verse, David would say, I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? I don't think it's unusual that believers at some point in their life have those kind of thoughts. And it wasn't limited just to David. Jeremiah, the great prophet, the man who in Jeremiah chapter 1 hears God call him to ministry. And he said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee and ordained thee a prophet. That great man that was used so mightily of God wrote not only the book of Jeremiah, but gave us the small book of Lamentations. And in the last chapter of that book of Lamentations, and of course the name tells you what the book is about, a time of lamenting, because of all the suffering that Israel did. And by the way, this thought went through my mind the other day. Jeremiah, a man who was very righteous before God, constantly walking in the Spirit, also had to suffer as Israel, who had sinned against God, suffered. When this nation goes deeper into its suffering, and we've really not experienced much of anything yet, when that time comes, and it will come because of our great sin, do not believe that we will be totally spared from suffering. Don't think that'll be the case. It certainly was not for Jeremiah. He suffered as much. In fact, he was martyred. The end of his life ended up in a martyr's death. And when he saw all that God had done to his nation, this is what he said in Lamentation chapter 5, verse 20. Wherefore dost thou forget us forever? Now he knew why God was judging his nation because of their great wickedness. Yet he still asked the question, why have you forgotten us? And it feels like you're forgetting us forever. I want you to look with me at Psalm 103 this morning, because I think we find here something that's going to be an encouragement to us. And that's just my hope today, just to look at this scripture to be a moment of encouragement. Psalm 103, beginning in verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. I want you to notice verse 14. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth. He remembereth that we are dust. And when you look at this passage, there are a lot of wonderful truths. In verse 8, he says this. He said that God, to you and me, his children, is merciful. Listen, God is just a compassionate God. He showers us. Again, I think about what Jeremiah said in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Because what? His compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. He is a compassionate God. He is full of mercy toward you and me. We're also told in verse 8 that he's a gracious God. God's just kind. And here's an amazing thing. That word grace means favor. God favors you and me. He favors you and me. We're told again in verse 8 that he is slow to anger. Now, I've got to make certain we grasp this properly. It does not say that God does not get angry. It says that God is slow to anger. And then in the next verse, verse 9, he says, he does not keep anger forever. Now, if you were here Wednesday night as we've been going through the book of Proverbs, I stress this, maybe a little bit too much so on Wednesday night, but God does get angry. In fact, Mark chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus is in the synagogue. There's a man with a withered hand, and those around him are just waiting for him to make the fatal error of healing a man working on the Sabbath day. And Jesus begins to ask, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day? And then the Bible says this as Jesus is about to heal the man. Mark 3, verse 5. He looked round about on them with anger. God does get angry. In fact, the Old Testament says God is angry with a sinner every day. You know, we're told that anger is not a sin. Be ye angry and sin not. We ought to get angry at sin. I think there's a properness in getting angry with someone who is violating God's commands. It's right and it's proper. But God, to you and me, his children, and by the way, I think it's proper to become angry with our children. I didn't say abusive. I said angry and let them know what you are doing is wrong. What you're doing is sin. I think that's right and proper. And we see that with God dealing with his children. Hebrews tells us very plainly, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and he scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. God is going to deal with us, and it's reasonable to think that God at times gets angry, even with his own, but he said he's slow to anger toward us. He's slow to anger, and when he does get angry, praise the Lord, he does not hold anger forever. And I'm glad for that, and I'm sure you are too. You notice in verse 10, that passage speaks of his long suffering. For he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord he doesn't do that. Amen. He's a long-suffering God. Verse 12 speaks of his forgiveness. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. I'm so glad that when God looks at me today, He sees me as he sees his son, Jesus Christ. When he looks at me, he looks through, in a sense, the blood of his son and sees me pure, holy, sanctified, set apart to him. That's the way he sees me. Your sins and iniquities, well, I remember what? No more. So many wonderful truths in this passage. God's mercy, his grace, his long-suffering, his forgiveness is directed toward you and me. But notice specifically, he says it's directed toward them. And I really never paid attention to this until this week. Toward them that fear him. Notice three times in this passage, he speaks about those that fear him. Verse 11. So great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Verse 13. So the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Verse 17. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. I have a question. Do you fear God? There's a danger for you and me to become so, in a sense, familiar with God that we no longer have a proper respect and a fear for God. Yes, there is connected with that term a reverential fear. I mentioned Wednesday night that when you note the term the fear of the Lord in Scripture, most of it is found in the Old Testament. One time in the New Testament, the book of Acts, and in the book of Acts, it speaks about the churches. So there in Acts chapter 9, verse 31, you don't have to turn there, but it says that upon the great persecution of the church at Jerusalem, men and women who were under persecution began to scatter. They began to go throughout that region, Samaria and into other regions in the Middle East. And as they went, they began to, men and women now, women too, began to preach. I'm glad for what you guys said about Pastor Miller's mother being such a faithful witness in the midst of all her suffering. Ladies, God wants you to be as much of a witness as he wants your husband or the man sitting next to you to be a witness. This is something that everyone is to do. We're all to preach the gospel. Not pastor church necessarily, but we're all to preach the gospel. They went everywhere preaching, and because of their witness, many got saved, and then many churches began to be formed. And it says in Acts 9:31 that God allowed all the churches to have a period of rest. In other words, the intense persecution stopped, not for long, but for a period of time they had rest. And this is what it says, Acts 9:31. Then had the churches rest and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord. I looked at that word fear, and it means terrorized, terror. Terror. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, Paul said to the Corinthian church. You understand the awesomeness and the great power of God. You understand that, yes, we ought to have a reverential fear, but we also ought to understand and respect that God has the power to judge sin. God has the power to scourge even his own children that he loves. There is to be a fear of the Lord in you and me. And that makes all the sense in the world as we see our nation declining and declining and declining. Just this week, Gallup poll came out with some disturbing news. Read an article by a gentleman by the name of Frank Newport. Just read the beginning quote. It says this: a record low 20% of Americans now say the Bible is the literal word of God. It's never been that low before. A nation once hyped as a Christian nation, now only 20% of people believe that the Bible is the literal word of God. 80% do not. 8 out of 10 people do not believe that. A few weeks before, we saw through the Barna poll that there are many Americans now who don't believe in God at all, much less believe this book. I'm glad, Reese, you mentioned about reading God's Word, because most men your age have no idea who Moses is or Abraham is. They have no idea who Jesus Christ is other than a curse word. And they don't believe it. I'm glad you do. Listen, have a fear of God. Have a reverential fear for God like you'd have for your own father. But have enough respect for him that you understand his might and his power. And I ask this, do we fear him? God says all these things are true in those that fear him. Those that fear him. That's what we saw in Proverbs chapter 2 the other day. The first four verses of Proverbs chapter 2 says, if you want to understand the fear of the Lord and have wisdom, there are things that you need to do. Then in verse 5 he says, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord. He said, if you'll receive his words from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22, verse 21, the very last verse in the Bible, he said, believe my words, all of them, not some of them, not most of them, all of them. All of them. All of them. If you'll receive my words, if you'll hide my commandments with you, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Again, I heard the emphasis through one of the testimonies about hiding God's word in our hearts, how important that is, especially for you who are young, how important that is. If you receive his words and hide his commands with you and incline your ear to wisdom, I'm just going to listen to God. I'm just going to listen to you. Every time I step in the church house, I'm not going to do anything else but focus on what the man of God is saying. I'm going to focus on what my teacher is saying. I'm going to focus on what Brother Tozier is saying. I'm going to pick up my Bible and say, God, open thou mine ears that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I'm going to incline my ears. And then he says, apply your heart to wisdom. I'm going to take what I'm learning from all these words, and as I hide them in my heart and I hear and I incline my ear, I'm going to begin to practice what I've been taught from the Holy Spirit and from those who have stood and taught me. He said, if you'll cry after knowledge, he said, if you'll search for wisdom, they that seek me early shall what? Find me. He said, if you do these things, verse 5 of Proverbs 2, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord. Then you'll know what true wisdom is. So again, I ask everyone here, from the oldest adult to the youngest person in this auditorium, do we fear God? Do we have a reverential fear of our God? So I ask, why is God slow to anger? Why is God's mercy great toward you and me? Why does God not deal with us after our sins in its total justice as he could? Why does God pity us like a father pities his children? And I think you find the answer in verse 14. Notice there again. He remembereth that we are dust. He remembers that we are dust. David said in the 49th Psalm, David said earlier in the Psalms, God, why have you forgotten me? And sometimes in our life, it feels like God has forgotten. But I want you to know, God has not forgotten you. God has not forgotten you. He did not forget David. And all the suffering that Jeremiah went through, God had not forgotten Jeremiah. God remembered them. And whatever you're going through this morning, I don't know what you may be going through, but God does. And he's not forgotten you. He remembers you. And just a couple things I want to point out before we close this morning. Just as we see here in this passage, God remembers what we are and what we were. We're dust. We were dust before we got saved, and we're still dust after we get saved. I still have to contend with this body every single day. Now, it seems like every time I walk in, there is some comment made about, you know, growing older. Well, I'm growing older. I'm 63 years old now. I'm not a real old man, but I'm not a real young man either. I'm growing older. And there's always comments made about how we feel. You know, boy, it was hard to get up this morning. Boy, my joints ache and all those kind of things. That's just normal talk, you know, us frail human beings. You know what? God remembers. God remembers that you're dust. Dust. The dirt of the earth. You know this already. You've heard this many times that the elements within the body are the same elements that you'll find out there in the dirt of the earth. As I've heard said, we're nothing more than dirt balls, and that's true. These bodies, when you take the mineral value of the body, we're not really worth that much. Just to be honest. But we mean everything to God. And we are beyond price to our God. He thought so much of this old dirt ball that he let his son be butchered for me. Think about that. He let his son suffer the torments of eternal judgment for me. I may not be worth much scientifically in the fields of science as they value the human body, but I am priceless in God's eyes, and so are you. He remembers that you're dust. Think about what God said to Adam the day he judged him. He said, Adam, from dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. But God gave Adam an out. God gave Eve an out. He promised them a seed that would redeem them. And that seed came in Jesus Christ. And that was Adam and Eve's hope as they looked toward the cross. And that is my hope as I look back to the cross. It's always been Jesus Christ, the seed that God gave us to redeem these, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, 7, earthen vessels. We're just, in a sense, clay pots. That's what we are. And God tells us here through the psalmist that God remembers that. Psalm 78, verse 39 puts it this way, for he remembered that they were but flesh. God knows that. God knows there's going to be times where we struggle in faith. God knows there's going to be times where you struggle to pick up your Bible and just read it. God knows there's going to be moments where you go to pray and you can't find the words. I'm grateful that the Holy Spirit speaks for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that He remembers that we're dust. I'm grateful that He remembers our life is brief. Psalm 89, verse 47, he says, remember how short my time is. Wherefore hast thou made all men vain? God knows what we are. God knows our limitations. God knows the struggles we have in our spiritual walk because of this. He knows. He remembers that we're dust. He knows the limitations of these bodies. James 4, 14, you know the verse. Many of you can quote it. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. It's just as quickly as a vapor from the kettle fills the air, it quickly disappears. And God says, that's what your life is like. God says, I know that. I've not forgotten that. I know the struggles that you have. Psalm 50, verse 21. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as thyself, but I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. And then verse 22 is, now consider this, that ye that forget God. The problem isn't God forgetting us. It's sometimes our problem in forgetting God. And sometimes because God is so merciful and gracious and long-suffering and patient and gentle, that we think like what God said in Psalm 50, 21. You think I'm altogether like one of you, that I've just forgotten what you've done, what you've allowed into your life. He said, I've not forgotten anything. I remember. That's important to keep in mind. It's important to keep that in mind. And yet, at the same time, He continues to deal gently with us. And He's long-suffering to us. Why? Because He remembers that we are dust. He remembers that. Something else that God remembers, this is encouraging to me, God remembers our needs. In fact, He knows your needs sometimes even before you realize you have a need. God remembers your needs. And it's filled really through the scripture with these types of thoughts. When God poured out His wrath on mankind, and He destroyed them in the days of Noah with a great flood, we're told in Genesis 8:1 these words, and God remembered Noah. God would have been righteous if He'd have just wiped out the whole lot. including Noah. But God remembered Noah, and Noah found what? Grace in the eyes of the Lord. God remembered Noah. God remembered Israel when they were in bondage in Egypt. 430 years of bondage, slavery, suffering. And in Exodus chapter 2, verses 22 and 23, it says that God remembered his people. And though they suffered for a long period of time, God had not forgotten them. Some of you may be going through suffering right now. It might be physical. It might be emotional. Whatever it may be. And sometimes we, like David, we, like Jeremiah, maybe you, like your pastor, sometimes say, God, have you forgotten? God has not forgotten. And all those 430 years, God had never forgotten his people. And God remembered his people and he delivered them. When God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, God, the Bible says, remembered Abraham. God remembered Abraham. Remember, it was Abraham who pled for his nephew Lot. Lord, if there's 50 righteous in the city, how about 45? What about 40? He went all the way down to 10. God, if you only find 10 righteous people, you wouldn't destroy Sodom if there were 10 righteous, would you? God said, no, I will not destroy. And you know what? God did destroy Sodom because he could not find 10 righteous within that city. But despite that, God sent those angels in and brought Lot and his family out. Because God remembered Abraham and his request. Let me tell you something. I don't know what you're asking God for. But whatever it is, God hears you. God hears you. And he may bear along with you, and he may not answer in the timing that you desire, but he does hear you. And no matter how big the request may be, God hears you. And God has not forgotten the burden of your heart or the need of your life, nor the request of your lips. He has not forgotten. I think about Hannah. She's one of my favorite women in the Bible. I want to meet Hannah when I get to heaven. Of course, we know the story of Hannah. She was barren. There in 1 Samuel chapter 1, she was constantly provoked by her competition by Peninnah, Elkanah's other wife. Peninnah had many children. The Bible says that the Lord had shut Hannah's womb. The Lord had shut her womb. There was a purpose in it. And she went to the tabernacle with the rest of the family. And now she becomes so desperate. And listen, I'm so sickened by what I hear in our society about my body, my choice, shout your abortion, all this filth and wickedness that has engulfed our country. Oh, if you're a woman in Israel and you were childless, it was a blight to your name. It was the craving of every woman, those who were married, to have a child, especially a man child. And so she went before the Lord and said, God, if you'll hear me. Now listen to this. She said, God, if you'll give me a man child, I will give him to you all the days of your life. Let me ask you a question. Have you committed your children to God? Say, God, use my children. I give them to you to use them in any way you choose. It might be to work in a coal mine. It might be to drive a school bus. It might be to sit in an office as an accountant. It might be to missionary to Cambodia or a pastor in Nevada or to work in some Christian ministry in Minnesota. Have you said, God, here's my children? Listen, you say, well, I really haven't prayed that way. You can start now. I don't care how old your children are, you can start that way now. And she said, God, I'll give you my child all the days of his life. I'll give them to you if you give me that man child. And this is what the Bible says there in 1 Samuel. It says, and God remembered her. God remembered Hannah and gave her that which he requested. God gave her a son. example after example of God remembering our needs. Oh, he remembers we're dust, and he remembers our needs. Psalm 9, verse 12 says this, he remembereth them, he forgetteth not the cry of the humble. So though Abraham was flesh, and Noah was flesh, and Hannah was flesh, and they had as many faults as I have, God was still patient with them like he's patient with me, and long-suffering with them like he's long-suffering with me, and gracious to them like he's gracious to your pastor, and merciful to them like he's merciful with your pastor. And God heard their cry, and God worked in their life, just like he's worked in my life, just like he can work in all of our lives. A couple other things to be very quick. God remembers his promise to us. There's some promises that God has made us, and God has not forgotten them. Psalm 105, verse 42 says, for he remembered his holy promise. In fact, I counted at least 10 times through scriptures where he makes the statement that God remembers his covenant. God remembers his covenant. Zacharias, who was part of the Levitical family, served in the temple, had gone in to do his priestly work and offering incense to the Lord. You remember he saw a vision of an angel, and the angel said to him, your wife Elizabeth, who's been barren, now in her old age, is going to bear a son, and you're going to call him John, and he's going to be the forerunner of the Messiah. The rejoicing after the birth of John was related in a statement that Zacharias made in Luke chapter 1, verses 72 and 73. Now listen to these words. Zacharias said, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham. Now think about this. That covenant, that oath, that promise had been made thousands of years in the past. Israel had waited for thousands of years to see this promise fulfilled. How long am I willing to wait for God's promise to be fulfilled in my life? And sometimes we think that God has forgotten. God has not forgotten. God still remembers his oath and his covenant. And I think it's important. Just go with me quickly to Hebrews chapter 6. I want you to notice this. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely I will, blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, notice that, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. That's part of our problem in our culture. We don't understand waiting. It's foreign to us. We hate it. We hate it. We hate to sit in the line at McDonald's and have to wait for 3 minutes to get our order. We do. That's our mentality. Verse 16. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them the end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise, that's you and me, the immutability of his counsel. You know what immutability means? It's unchangeable. It's unalterable. To show us the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation to have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into the veil, enter into that which within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And just point out to you those two immutable things: God's promise sealed with an oath, a covenant. God says, I cannot break this. He said, I can't lie. So whatever God has promised, he will do. But sometimes, listen, you have to patiently endure. We just have to patiently endure and wait for God. Abraham had a promise of a son. He had to wait for 35 years for the fulfillment of that promise. Listen, God has not forgotten the promises that he's made to you. We won't go to it, but there in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, he talks about the many promises he's given to his children as New Testament believers. Do we believe him? Are we willing to patiently endure? God has not forgotten. He remembers his promises to you and me. And I'll close with this. God also remembers our labor. I look at this congregation right now, and I could point out, I won't, but I could point out certain people who have been here for basically the duration of the history of Grace Baptist Church, our 43 plus years. People who have just been very faithful. Just faithful. Always doing their ministry. Never seeking accolades, they just do their ministry. Just faithful to God. Laboring for him. Paul had those who worked in Bible school stand up, and I'm glad he did that. Just faithful laboring. Every year it comes around, just faithfully laboring. You ever feel sometimes like God's forgotten what you're doing? Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10 says this, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." God remembers what you're doing to serve him. One day you will stand before Jesus Christ and you will be rewarded for your good and faithful service to him. You'll hear him say, as Jesus pointed out, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." You'll hear those words. You'll receive the rewards for service given in his name. God hasn't forgotten anything. God remembers. You and I can take comfort in those truths. It's important that we remember those words of Psalm 103, verse 18 as well. He said at the very end of that verse, he says, "To those that remember his commandments to do them." As much as we need to understand that God never forgets, he always remembers us. There's the importance of you and me knowing that we have a responsibility to remember too. Just as much as we want to be assured and comforted by the fact that God remembers our labor of love, God remembers our needs, God remembers all these things we mentioned this morning, God says, you got a responsibility to remember too. You need to remember to keep my commandments. You need to remember to obey me. So I ask that this morning. Are you faithfully remembering and obeying the commands that he's given to his New Testament bride? Trust that we are. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2 says, "But thou shalt remember," you, me, "thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee, to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart." So there are going to be times where you're going to be like David and you're going to say, "God, have you forgotten me forever?" You're going to be like Jeremiah where you're going to say, "God, have you forgotten us, your people?" There's going to be moments like that, but it just might be that he is testing you. That's what the word prove means, test you. For you and me to see what's in our hearts, just where we really are in our commitment level to him. I hope you'll take the encouragement this morning that God does not forget. God remembers, and that we will learn to patiently endure as Abraham did, and as David did, and as Hannah did, and let God work in us in a very special way. Because when we learn to wait, and we learn just to keep trusting him, even in the midst of difficulties or suffering, then when God does that work of fulfilling his promise, brother, it is sweet. It is just sweet. Remember that God remembers. Let's stand together with our heads bowed. and with our heads bowed, our eyes closed, maybe this morning you are just struggling. Maybe you are like David, like Jeremiah. God, have you forgotten me? God, I'm going through these issues, whatever those issues may be. God, have you forgotten me? He has not. He has not forgotten you. He's not forgotten your needs. He's not forgotten your labor. He certainly has not forgotten his promises to you. Rest in him today. Rest in him. Father, take what has been said. Let it be an encouragement to your people today. I pray in Jesus' name. I don't know this morning what this may have done to be an encouragement to you. I hope it has been an encouragement. Maybe this morning it's maybe brought a little bit of a conviction. Maybe you say, you know what, I've not been resting in the reality of what God is in my life. And I have been questioning whether he remembers me. And I've gotten a little bit bitter toward the Lord. Or I've started to give God second best because this very thought that David had and Jeremiah had has entered in my mind. Maybe you just need today, right where you're standing, or even here at this altar, say, God, I just want to recommit myself just to believing you, believing that you're going to fulfill your oath and your covenant to me. And if you need this morning to come, you are welcome to come. If you need to do business with God where you stand, you do business with God where you stand. Just have Patty play through one verse this morning. Patty, you begin to play. And if there is a need, and you just be obedient to the Lord, whatever it may be, you can deal with it there where you stand, do so. If you need to come to this altar, do so. Just be obedient to the Lord today.